give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 29. I want my MTV. What's up, internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 29, recorded on August 19th, 2015, brought to you by the Happy Hour Network and RayRay.net. I am your sexy party host, Ray Moraldi, but you also know me as Ray Ray. So, you guys know me as an NBA blogger, so in this podcast, you'll probably hear some basketball talk, more specifically the NBA. But really, I'm just here to talk about whatever interests me, whether it's wrestling, pop music, video games, Saved by the Bell, etc. I'm going to have friends and personalities, mostly sports, well, mostly NBA personalities, come on here to talk about the subject at hand. And it's also a nice way of seeing another side of these personalities talk about something you're not used to hearing. Also, I have other segments on here when we get the chance to do it. There's Girl Talk with the Gal Pal Squad, where I talk to my best female friends, usually about dating, fashion, and people interaction. There's Story Time with Adam Jacoby, where he tells us a story with a twist ending. And there's Kicking It Old School with Ray Ray and EJ, where my friend EJ Christian get nostalgic on you people with something from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Now that you know what's up, let's get into it, shall we? It's a long time complaint, but we talk about the channel that I think that's still called Music Television, MTV. Derek Dockett, who is Associate Commissioner of New Media at the Missouri Valley Conference, talks to me about this channel. We also talk about SummerSlam, which is coming up this weekend. So, one, two, three, scratch! Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 29. On the line, I've known him on Twitter for quite a bit, but this is really the first time we're talking to each other, audio-wise. He is the Associate Commissioner of the New Media at the Missouri Valley Conference, and he also does a podcast called the DDT Happy Hour, right?
Yeah, that's one of the projects, I guess.
you have so much going on, but Derek Dockett, I'm trying not to get you confused with that NFL player.
I appreciate it.
So, what's up, Derek?
Not too much. Living a dream, man.
Awesome. So, we were just, like, messing around on Twitter, and we mentioned MTV for quite a bit, and we're just like, oh my god, what happened to MTV? What happened to MTV?
Well, for one, I'm thinking now, I'm looking back, did they ever show videos? But I guess it was when I was in college. I graduated from college in 2002. TRL, Total Request Live. I'm not sure if anybody ever remembers. That's where Carson Daly started.
Oh, yeah.
That was like the only show that I remember that actually showed videos. And if you remember, they only showed videos like three quarters or halfway through the video. Then they'd cut them off and go back to the studio.
Right. And half of that are like people screaming. It's like, I'd like to request 90 degrees. I do cherish you because Nick Lachey, I do cherish you. Woo! You know?
Exactly.
That sort of thing. So, yeah, it's in front of a studio audience and everything. And, yeah, for a while there was also MTV Jams that would play, you know, obviously R&B and rap and all that stuff.
Right. No MTV Raps. I'm not sure if anybody remembers that show. That was Ed Lover and Dr. Dre. This was like before. Yes. That was the 90s. This is the late 90s. And they showed videos from start to finish.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
I mean, those shows don't exist anymore.
Yeah, they have a, you know, a more of a focus on, they've had a focus on reality shows since really the early 90s of the real world.
Yeah,
and I
guess to be honest, I should probably say in defense of MTV, there is MTV2, and there's like, do they have even another station where there's more of a heavy emphasis on music? But in their defense, I know they've got these other stations that do show, you know, more of an emphasis on music, but MTV as we know it hadn't existed since what? like 1990, 91, 90. I mean, the real world started like 91 or 92, didn't it? Maybe 93.
Don't you think it's kind of like the internet's fault that MTV is going down like this? Because most of the music videos that we see now are on YouTube.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. That's probably one of the reasons why. At the same time, when I think about that, what was ever stopping MTV? And I guess I'm sure there's lots of issues. I should know that they can't just take videos and put them on, like, their own website and, you know, like, really popularize artists in their own way because they are MTV, music television that we control.
That's the thing.
music television, and they're not even playing music anymore. Oh. And all I see out there is like, punked and ridiculousness or whatever is out there. What about even shows about music, like 12 Angry Viewers when they would, you remember that show, 12 Angry Viewers?
And honestly, there used to be shows about music. You had Making the Band. I mean, shows about people trying to become artists and everything.
Yeah.
But it just spun into some sort of crazy spiral that got out of control, and we ended up with Catfished.
And
I don't know.
And is Teen Mom still on?
Oh, you're asking the wrong person.
Oh, yeah.
No
that's true.
I do remember the glory days. I will admit the next, Andy Milonakis. I'm going off the top of my head here. I'm trying some stuff that I remember. Tom Green show. I mean, yes. Jackass when that first started. Those are all the ones that, you know, the Real World, Road Rules, Real World, Road Rules, All Stars, Real World, yes, Road Rules, yes. Reunion. I mean.
Hey, the Robin World Tour. Was it on TV, right?
Yeah.
The Robin World Tour, yeah.
And don't get all the animated stuff. Beavis and Butthead. Yeah,
exactly.
Dark, I mean.
They tried to bring Beavis and Butthead back at one time, and it only lasted for like a season. I don't know if they're bringing that back.
Yeah. Well, you can't remake stuff. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
nothing quite like the original. That goes for almost everything in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Back then, like during like the lunch hour of the afternoon, we have The Grind, right?
Oh, Eric Nies. he was on what, Real World or Road Rules? I'm not sure. I think he started with Real World and ended up with his own show about, it was a dance party, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was music related at least, because they were playing music and you just saw...
And you just dance.
Yeah,
you know?
It was a studio where people were just dancing, and then it became like when they were on the beach.
Yeah,
that's all it was. Yeah. It was like,
oh man, it does make me miss like our youth basically, when we're just watching like everyone just dance at the beach, The Grind. Oh my god!
You think about, how ridiculous is that though?
Yeah,
that was a show.
Yeah,
like, Pimp My Ride. That was a show. I love Exhibit. I really do. But that was a show. People doing ridiculous things to their cars. I mean, come on.
Oh, man. Remember they also had shows like Remote Control?
Yeah.
Lip Service. Remember Lip Service?
I do.
That was a thing, because now they have like Lip Sync on with Jimmy Fallon and everything.
Yeah.
Lip Service
that was
like
pretty
the OG.
That was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, Lip Service was the OG. And sometimes I think in one of the rounds they would have them sing the songs, which was hilarious because they mostly can't sing.
Yes.
Contestants couldn't.
Okay,
so
I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Now, we've got Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which is actually on E. It's not an MTV show. It's on E. But
right.
If you can think back, Jessica Simpson, Nick Lachey, their show that was on there. I forget what it was called, but they had the reality show. It was just cameras following them around. You think, was that show pretty much the precursor to the Kardashians, pretty much? I mean, think about it. We got a glimpse of the Nick and Jessica's life, and it was so glamorous, and yada, yada, yada. They were so in love. Then they got divorced. And... And then we've got every show spun off that is pretty much exactly like that.
I never thought of it that way, honestly.
I mean, that's one of the early ones that I could think of. I mean, I don't know when the Osbournes started. That might be before it.
That maybe that's true, too. Brittany had a couple episodes of Kevin Federline, but that was not on MTV, but that was on there, too. Yeah, I never thought of that.
One show that I'm popping in my head now, and I'm trying to do all this without doing research.
Right.
Celebrity Deathmatch.
Oh,
that was unlike anything else.
Yeah, it was. And would you? You don't want to remake anything, but would you be in favor of bringing that back?
They can add in all kinds of other people and have celebrity death matches. That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, you
can
just do Donald Trump against all the other Republicans.
Yeah,
you can do so much with current, you know, stuff going on in the world now, and do. I mean,
exactly.
And that's what the show was.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you could do James Harden versus Lamar Odom or something,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'm on board with that. And that is kind of on board if they'd want to do it. Because it was, again, that was a pretty ridiculous show because it was claymation. And these characters were doing things that they, you know, you would never, ever see anyone doing in a real fight. And they would melt and then disintegrate into the ring, and you had a victor.
Yeah, we were all about disintegration, like, in the 90s. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Mortal Kombat was about fatalities and everything. So.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So claymation, being killed and being, you know, disintegration and everything like that. Like, yeah, that was the thing. Another thing that's missing annually, at least, when they have Rock and Jock Sports.
On the basketball. That was my favorites.
I always make a reference to the Rock and Jock basketball games whenever I live tweet basketball games on the NBA. So, oh my god, like, I wish they would have that instead of the whatever celebrity game they have during the All-Star
weekend. Let's just bring in a 25-point basket that's ginormous and let the celebrities and the pros and the Hall of Famers play a game in that fashion.
Yeah. They also did a 50-point basket like late in those years too. So, man, I remember like Tim Hardaway made a 25-point basket. Dean Cain, I think, made a 25-point basket.
Dean Cain was a baller. Oh, definitely. He was like, that was his coming out party.
Dude, Dean Cain is Superman. I don't care what anyone says, but if they mention a Superman, it's always Dean Cain. It's not Dwight Howard. It's not Shaquille O'Neal. It's Dean Cain.
Yes.
Yeah,
he played Superman. I mean, it's true.
Yeah, exactly. What was that other show? Remember, Aeon Flux? That's another animated show.
Yeah, I kind of remember that. Yeah. I do remember it.
They had something called the Idiot Box when Alex Winter from Bill and Ted fame was trying to capitalize off of that, and that didn't work out too much.
Nice. Laguna.
Yeah. Those shows, yeah. Because you obviously specialize in those reality shows. Yeah, The Hills and all that stuff.
So bad.
Man, I know.
So bad. How did those shows just even... Someone sat around a boardroom at MTV and said, we got an idea. We're going to do this one next fall. We got these kids, and we're going to just follow them around. And it's going to be a show about their life. It's going to be sort of a soap opera, but not really, but kind of a reality show, but not really. And it's going to be them on the beach hanging out at school and everything. During the show. Is that how it happens? That's not how it happens.
I have no idea. Like, let's just look into the lives of these random teenagers or college students or whatever. I don't know. There was also The House of Style with Molly Sims. Remember Molly Sims?
Vaguely. That's one I'm not. The House of Style with Molly Sibbs. There was a House of Style that was something before her.
Cindy Crawford, okay, probably.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just remember that because they kept plugging it during MTV prime time, I guess. So. Of course, another famous show, The Jersey Shore.
Oh yeah.
My friend loved The Jersey Shore, and he kept insisting that I watch it. I'm like, no.
Yes, I didn't get it. I didn't get into the whole. I mean, obviously, they were so popular. It was kind of hard not to sort of know who Snooki and Jawile and all were.
Yeah, right.
And I can honestly say I didn't watch a whole lot of that show, but I knew who these people were.
Yeah, how can you not?
Yeah, they were pop culture everywhere, and
Yeah.
They made themselves find their ways onto our TVs and onto the internet somehow. So.
Yeah, dude, Snooki was in WrestleMania. Like, I couldn't avoid it.
Which one was this?
Oh my
god! We're gonna get into WWE talk, and you're going to find out that I had a phase where I phased out slowly with the WWE network because I'm a WWE, like, I loved it in the 90s. I don't know if we're transitioning now, but
I guess we are, but in the Attitude era
and the, like, 90s and everything, and then I sort of just was like, this is not as cool anymore. Now, I guess, I don't know what the new era is that Brock Lesnar is ushered in. And I'm sort of like, this is kind of interesting. But I also like the way that – I'm all about social media, obviously, so I love the way they use it. So I find myself watching it just for that reason alone. But I don't know which WrestleMania she was in.
It's pretty forgettable. I'm going to say like 27 or 28 or whatever.
Yeah, that's definitely the range of when I wasn't watching.
We'll be right back with more Derek Dockett as we transition into some WWE talk and SummerSlam.
This is Sheila McKiley, and you're listening to Ray Ray is Fundamental.
All I'll be, everything in this world, all that I'll ever need is in your eyes, shining at me. When you smile, I can feel all my passion unfolding. Your hand versus mine, and the thousand sensations. So seduce me, cause I do cherish you for the rest of my life. You don't have to think twice. I will love you still from the depths of my soul. It's beyond my control. It's to you. If you're asking, do I love you this much? I do.
Even then, I still kept up. Even during like the down times, basically, even when it was terrible, when they had like clowns wrestling, and you know they tried to be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Too kid friendly, and it was just goofy, and it was like, oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, the reason why, like, there's like, they're trying so hard to please everybody. I think that's the problem here. Like, they don't have their target audience is everybody. That's the problem. Yeah. They're going to try to please college kids. They're going to try to please parents. They're going to try to please the little kids. That's why you have John Cena wearing, like, 895 different colored shirts. Yeah.
And then you got tough guy Brock Lesnar that wants to beat everyone down.
Yep.
And all
and
the
then,
dudes like him. And yeah.
And then you have celebrities like Snooki appearing on WrestleMania.
Yeah,
to try to cross over. So, and now they have ESPN appearing for SummerSlam.
And that's so crazy to me that, and I don't know what the deal is and how that's come about that ESPN is now like a promotional vehicle for the WWE, but I kind of find that intriguing because I don't know how they've come to embrace it. If the WWE said, hey, we'll do this for you if you do this for us, or if they just decided, you know what, sure, this is interesting, whatever. But however they did it, kudos to WWE because obviously there's no more powerful vehicle. Well, there probably is, but having the, you know, ESPN, you know, back you in some sort of fashion promotional vehicle, that's awesome. I mean, Brock Lesnar doing what SEC quarterbacks did in a car wash. That's that didn't happen to Stone Cold Steve Austin in those years.
Right. They do have two guys that used to work for WWE in ESPN.
John McClunkston, and who's the other guy?
What's his name? Todd Grisham works
okay,
for him.
Okay, I do remember him. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's probably the crossover right there. And Michelle Beadle is like a huge WWE fan.
Okay.
So that definitely helps ESPN cross over to WWE. Here's the thing about WWE. Back then in the Attitude Era, like they only wanted to please like the 18 to 35 demographic because that's what it was. You know, a lot of raunchy stuff, a lot of blood. Now they're trying to please everybody, which doesn't please the 18 to 35 demographic because they're trying so hard to, like,
to
please the kids. Yeah, please the kids, please the parents, whatever.
Not make anyone mad at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's just tough to do. And especially you're trying to do it, like, oh, my God, 3 hours a week on Monday, two hours on Friday.
I don't even watch SmackDown.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's – that's not live, is it?
No, it's not.
See, and here's my other thing, and I'm gonna complain. I do subscribe to the WWE Network. One of the reasons
right.
is I love the historical stuff because it's the stuff I grew up with. I love going back and watching that for some odd reason. I don't know why. For some reason, I was sitting here working on something for work, and then I was like, SummerSlam 96. Why I chose SummerSlam 96, I don't know. Not one of their best products, but hey, it was like, you know, that's the one where Paul Bearer turned on The Undertaker for the first time and went with Mankind. If anyone
right.
of the WWE marks knows the significance of that pay-per-view. But I'm sitting here, I'm
yes.
like, I found it easy. It was great to click and just start watching it. But now
yeah.
it's kind of like, I can't get, like, this week's Raw. I can't get, like, SmackDown, the full show. It takes, like, a couple weeks or months before the show's full, like, go up there. And I don't know why
yeah.
that is. I mean, it's their product. I don't know if it's an agreement with USA Network or something like that. I'm sure it probably is.
Probably, yeah.
But that's my one gripe with it. I can't just watch this week's, like, as we sit here talking, it's Wednesday. I can't go back there and watch this past Monday's or the Monday before that or the Monday before that. I think the most recent one is like June or something probably, or maybe early July.
Yeah. It's probably an agreement, I'm
yeah.
guessing, because there's just no other reason to do that. Yeah, I would like it if once the program is finished.
Pop it up there.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think there's any harm to that. But back to that MTV WWE, there's an MTV WWE connection here.
Yes, there is.
I know the WWE did the Rock and Wrestling connection, and did they show, like, before WrestleMania, they would show matches on MTV?
I believe so.
With Hulk Hogan and Cyndi Lauper would show up and stuff like that?
Yeah. And
yeah.
There's actually probably even more than that, because I can remember, gosh, I'm really trying to go pull this.
I do know Sunday Night Heat used to air on MTV.
Yes.
I do know
Heat
that.
Used to be on... They used to, Tough Enough, I think, started on
that's true too.
MTV,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
God, I think there's some other show or something, other segment or something else they did that was like MTV. And part of that, I think, is all, if I'm, you know, I might be completely wrong on this, MTV, USA Network, all part of the same parent company, correct?
I think so,
and
yeah.
That's probably why. It's a partnership, and that all makes sense. And at one point, USA Network had a huge, huge stake, I think, at least in terms of, like, the TV show in WWE, so I'm not sure if that relationship, how strong it is now, might just be TV only, but they definitely did. There's a lot more WWE that was on MTV back in those days. The Attitude Era, definitely, and, you know, back in the 80s, they definitely had the Rock and wrestling was huge.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. MTV was, like, a huge vehicle for WWE back then. Right now, it's all about the USA is going to take over SmackDown in a few months, I believe so. They already have Raw. And do you think there's just too much WWE programming on TV in general? It's hard to keep up. I mean, I only watch Raw, to be honest.
I only watch Raw, too. And I'll be honest, I don't even watch it. Like, I'm not sitting in front of my TV on the edge, like, waiting to see what happens. I may have it on. I may not. But I will, like, watch the events because they're on the network, and I've got that.
Yeah.
To answer your question, see, I throw this back at you. When it was really, really good, there were other wrestling brands and shows on.
Mm-hmm.
Since there's no other, like, and with all due respect to, you know, is it TNA and all the other types of shows?
Yeah.
They're not on, you know, like what WCW was to WWE back in the day. They're not on TNT or anything.
Yeah, they're on Destination America.
Right.
And who has that channel?
Exactly. So... Since there's no other product on, would WWE benefit from just making Raw 2 hours instead of filling us with 3 hours of that and 2 hours of SmackDown? Roll Raw back to 2 hours and roll SmackDown to an hour. Because the old days, the old WWE, Raw and SmackDown, well, Raw was 2 hours, SmackDown was an hour. But way back in the days when Raw first started, it was 30 minutes, then became an hour. You know, the shows themselves, like Sunday Night Heat was a 30-minute show, became an hour. I mean, all the specialty shows were 30-minute shows or hour shows. Superstar, mm-hmm. You know, all these shows were just hour-long shows or 30-minute shows.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that you really got to pick and choose what you're putting on because you got to decide who you're promoting, on what show, what wrestlers are on, and, you know, all that. Now you got so much talking. And don't get me wrong, I love some of the talking. I mean, if it weren't for that, like guys like The Rock and Stone Cold, where would we be now? I mean, I probably wouldn't be as into it as I was.
Yeah.
It's like, you got some people that don't need to be talking, but they got time to fill.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at least there's more women's wrestling, which is starting to pick up steam
and
now.
And I noticed
so that's good.
That's becoming a new thing, the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
I guess, I don't know.
Because they have a minor league show called NXT on the network,
yes.
Which I love, by the way. I love that show.
And I'll admit, I haven't watched enough of that. I listened to another podcast, but the guy, I'll give a shout out to Jeremy McPeak, his son, mm-hmm. They talk about it all the time.
Jeremy!
And that's where all the talent is homegrown and Triple H is like,
yeah.
I know the gist of it, but I'll admit, I have not sat down and I've watched a lot of it, and I know they got another huge event coming up too, so maybe that's when I should check it out before SummerSlam, or I think it's that weekend, the Saturday or before SummerSlam.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where Kevin Owens came from, basically, you know, all those big guys, basically. So, yeah, you should check it out. It's only an hour.
And you know and what? I think that might be why people, from what I understand, people love NXT. It's huge.
They do.
Like, they love the storylines, the characters, the way the characters are developing. And they're like, bring these guys up to the roster. Well, they're bringing them up to the main roster, but there's so many other people that are, like, either not getting it done or they're still stuck there or whatever. But NXT overall, it's like, a positive rating from what I get out of it.
Because the stories actually are not convoluted. It's just simple storylines that make sense. And they wrestle a lot. Like, they wrestle a lot.
I mean, that's what drew people to WCW when it started, mm-hmm. You know, the Monday Night Wars. There was way more wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. And
honestly,
they'll
prep wrestling, and I had to admit that because I was a purely WWE person, and when someone says WCW is better, oh, I hated it. I was so in the WWE camp.
I was so lucky when the Monday Night Wars were going on that they would air Nitro during Eastern time, so I would watch at 5 o'clock and I would watch Raw at 9.
Oh.
So I would have an hour break in between. It's like, oh man, it's like I was able to watch both shows, no problem.
See, you're one look. See, I had to do was they started putting Nitro on replay, and it came on after. They would either replay it right after it went off the air or later that night. So I would just watch WWE because that's where I was a fan of, and I wouldn't see.
Yeah.
And I flip over in commercial breaks, but then I see something happen. I'm like, crap, what's the NWO doing now? I'm going back to Raw.
Yeah.
I go back and watch the entire show. But when they started doing the replay, it was a great thing. And then when I got to college, I actually had guys on my floor. We had two TVs going at the same time in the same room, so we were just watching both shows.
I really do miss those. But, again, we're hardly the target audience anymore of WWE. Again, they're trying to please everybody. I think that's where they're running into problems because it's like, you know, you just cannot please everybody. That's like a rule in life in general.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, we just basically glossed over like everything WWE, and now we're back and MTV.
We can talk SummerSlam too.
Yeah, let's talk about.
I don't even know all the matches. I know what I prefer to happen for the sake of the quality of the product, but I don't even know all of the matches. I mean, I know the Cena and the title for title, and I know Undertaker and Lesnar. But
so there is John Cena and Seth Rollins title for title. What do you want to happen there?
Good question. I don't know. No. Well, here's the thing. Okay. So let's think about this. So either if this is clean, this is going to happen. If someone pins someone or makes them submit, Cena's going to be champion and U.S. champion, which actually, honestly, God, I can't see that happen. I don't think that should happen. And I don't think there's any chance that Seth Rollins is going to beat him and be U.S. champion and world champion. That makes no sense.
So you have a disqualification finish,
well,
right?
And I feel that's going to happen, and I don't. I feel like someone needs to stick their nose in this.
Like Sheamus, Money in the Bank.
Nah, that's not happening here. he's not cashing it. That's it never happens when you expect. I will give them credit on that gimmick of Money in the Bank, the winner. That doesn't happen when you expect it, and I will always give them kudos on that. They
WrestleMania. That was good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
What will happen? What do I want to happen?
What do you want to happen?
What do I want to happen is, I guess it should be Cena losing. And that, I don't hate Cena. I'm not one of those people either. When I say that is because I don't know if they're trying to do something with Seth Rollins and trying to get him put over. Because honestly, I don't think he's really, really been put over as a champion.
Well, yeah, because they always have those non-title matches where he loses.
Exactly.
I hate that, by the way. They should stop that.
So, I don't know if getting him the win over Cena helps that, but it's not going to be clean, obviously.
The other
thing that sort of piques my interest is the segment on Monday where Cena, they did the contract signing. He mentioned him, Rollins being handpicked by Triple H the same way Ric Flair handpicked Triple H. Does Ric Flair show up at SummerSlam and... You know, is there something going on that I'm missing? I don't know.
Are you saying Evolution 2.0?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is there some money coming back? I don't know. You know? But I guess what I would like to happen, because I'd be curious to see where they take it, is for Cena to lose. Because what does that do to him? Puts him in a state of limbo that is what?
Yeah, that he's never been, right?
Right.
Because, yeah, the thing is, like, no matter what you do to John Cena, he'll always be in some kind of high-profile program, regardless.
Yeah.
So,
I can't believe he's been around for so long. Like, I wasn't watching when he first came onto the scene. So
yeah,
he's been around for a long time.
He appeared right after the Attitude Era died.
Yeah.
So, and now he's been carrying the torch ever since. And that's the thing. Like, I want him to pass the torch to somebody, but I'm not sure if it's him or if it's The Office, but it's still not happening.
No, it took a while with Hogan. It took a while with, you know, Bret Hart when he left and them deciding changing this era. I mean, Vince, we think about it, when he lost to Shawn Michaels in 1996, this is where I'm going to throw in my, when I watch it in my WWE history. When he lost to Shawn Michaels in 1996, he left, didn't know if he was coming back at that time, signed a like lifetime contract or some sort of like crazy contract. And we know the history, you know, the company was not doing well, the ratings and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And Vince is like, I got to get you out of this contract. Go to Turner and go back and see what you can get, what they offered you. And, you know, the rest is history. I mean, at some point, is the tide going to turn again? I mean, it's always happening. They go through these things. It was Hogan was popular in the 80s and the late 80s and the early 90s. And Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock and Triple H. And then here come, we bought WCW, have no more competition. And, you know, Brock Lesnar is here and it's so great. And we've got social media that helps power it.
Well, Cena's been on top for about a decade. And no matter what you say, Cena is the face of WWE. And that's the problem, I think, that he's been on there for too long. Lesnar really can't be because he's only appearing four times a year. Which is awesome in a way because when he does appear, it's worth it.
Oh, yeah. He makes an impact.
Yeah.
You're getting your money's worth when he shows up.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like when Hogan was appearing back in the day. Yeah. So, but I'm just waiting for them for WWE to pass the torch to someone else. And I mean, it doesn't have to be like just like that, but it has to be gradual. And we don't know who that guy's going to be.
Oh, it's also what the talent wants to do with themselves. Like I find it interesting on, and I don't know how much of a shoot. And I say shoot, that's lingo.
Yeah, yeah.
How much of it is real when Stone Cold Steve Austin in his podcast says, are these guys doing things the right way? Who's, you know, getting talent ready? Who's going through and saying, you know what, I'm going to take the ball, I'm going to run with it, and who's taking the ball and dropping it kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Who wants to be the next one that says, you know what, I'm ready to step up. I want to take, you know, my creative direction. I want to step up, and I want to get better, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not there. I have no clue about the business. I don't know if that's what's happening. I don't know if that's what Stone Cold Steve Austin did when he got popular, if that's what all the talent did. If they decide, you know what, WCW's kicking our butt, we got to do something collectively and save this company or else we're all going to be out of jobs.
You can hear in the crowd reaction, though, when Austin.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, once he got popular, they just put the push on him.
Oh, yeah. They had no choice.
There he goes. Yeah, exactly. So I think some wrestlers are getting that reaction a little bit, but then the office isn't backing them.
Well, same thing. I mean, looking the other direction, you've got the fans seriously got behind Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And then they do not get behind Roman Reigns.
Yeah. The problem with Daniel Bryan, though, is that he's getting injured a lot. You know, because he's I'm not saying he's reckless, but his style is just, you know, it's not
like
very
that.
Safe. Yeah, exactly. Like, he's doing, like, three rockets in a row at the corner and, like, killing himself just doing that, running and then landing on his back and, you know, that just, that takes a toll on you. So, but, yeah, I don't know who will be the next Cena. Sometimes I feel like they're afraid to take it off of Cena's back. So I have no idea. I think the roster has potential, though, so who knows. But
what do you want to happen in this match? What do you want to happen in this match?
I think I don't want either to lose their belts, basically. Their titles.
I don't think they will. So
yeah, something's gonna be a disqualification.
Something's gonna happen and
I think Sheamus will try to cash in. I don't know.
So I feel like that's too soon.
You think so?
Yeah.
We shall see. Taker Lesnar, I absolutely want Lesnar to win this match.
Why is that?
Taker is 50 years old, and I like the Brock Lesnar that's just, like, killing everybody. Like, if you look at his past few matches after beating The Undertaker in WrestleMania, he looked invincible pretty much the entire time, and I like
True.
That. Yeah. A 50-year-old beating him just doesn't seem real to me.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
I don't care if it's The Undertaker, you know, but I just like the... I just like the indestructible nature of Brock Lesnar. Like, if he gets beat, like, you know the way Roman Reigns nearly beat him? That's the kind of beatdown I would like for Lesnar to take when he gets beat.
And I also think that's sort of what's drawn me back to watching again, quite honestly. That it's like, the match against Cena Well, he just destroyed it. Suplex City. I mean, my word.
He killed him.
I mean, and WrestleMania against Reigns. I mean, those were like, wow.
Yeah. That triple threat match against Cena and Rollins as well.
The thing with The Undertaker is that they always do the Undertaker mystique, you know, dead man, you know, all that stuff going on, and that theatrical stuff, which is great. That's one of the things that makes The Undertaker The Undertaker. Because all that stuff happens. When he loses and you think he's gone, he gets carried out by druids, and he comes back in a casket and rises, and someone sets the casket on fire, and then you know, he escapes. I mean, he's been in these matches buried alive and casket. I mean, Inferno. I mean, he always finds some way to rise again.
Uh-huh.
So against Brock Lesnar, I'm going to be surprised if it's just one of those beat down, he destroyed him type of things, because mm-hmm. that's not what they do to The Undertaker. That mm-hmm. just doesn't happen. Either The Undertaker's doing that to people. No one does that to The Undertaker. Unless he's going out for something, and I don't see that happening. Because to me, they're setting up, possibly, and everyone says this, and we said this last year and year before, the final match at WrestleMania, his farewell, so on and so forth. I don't think you're just going to bury him and let Brock Lesnar bury him.
Yeah. I just don't want Brock Lesnar's character to suddenly like be all I guess.
And I don't think they're gonna let The Undertaker do that to him. I mean, there's a way of pulling that off and having them mm-hmm. both come off, you know, the Beast and the, I mean, you're doing the Beast and the Dead Man. I mean, for years The Undertaker was Brock Lesnar. He was doing that mm-hmm. to people. I mean, he was just, you know, destroying people.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What I want to happen, I
see, if they did this into like a street fight, I would favor The Undertaker, because like at least
it'd be much more believable.
He doesn't have to wrestle. Yeah, it's much more believable. It's like,
brawl
oh,
with him, beat him up.
He hit him with a bat, you know, like okay, you know, that sort of thing.
Yep.
And here's another thing that makes me think that Undertaker will win this match. Not that I wanted it to happen, but they keep promoting the fact that Taker has never beaten Brock Lesnar ever. Which is true, I believe. So
is it?
Yeah, because Taker and Lesnar wrestled in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of. They had something on their website about
that. Yeah, Lesnar beat him twice, I think.
Okay.
So I don't think Taker's ever beaten Lesnar. So they're doing that, and that makes me think that maybe they'll give Taker a win finally, and then there's that Taker Lesnar rematch at WrestleMania at AT&T Stadium.
See, and I also. So will there not be an Undertaker Sting match? Will there not be?
Maybe they'll do a Survivor Series. I don't know.
Yeah, the main pay per views. Yeah, we still have Survivor Series and Royal Rumble before getting to WrestleMania. Those are the big boys.
Yeah.
So
maybe they'll put Sting in one of those pay per views.
I hope so. I mean, to me, that match isn't even huge. Like Undertaker Sting, to me, that's not one of the matches that I've always wanted to see. That's not one of the things I've always wanted to see. Seeing Bret Hart, which happened, was a disappointment, because that's the state of when Bret Hart left to go to WCW, what it was.
Yes.
It was always guys with similar moves and things like that that I always wanted to see. Undertaker Sting, to me, that's not, you know, that means nothing to me.
I guess in historical context, it means something. Right.
Because they never did wrestle with those two gimmicks against each other. They were the staples of their companies.
Yes, Sting never left WCW during that Attitude Era.
Right.
So, wow. So, any other match you're looking forward to? I'm definitely looking forward to Owen Cesaro on SummerSlam. That's the one
That was interesting, because I guess Cesaro is pretty much a face now, and everyone loves him. I don't know. Something about him, he's just not quite. I don't cling. I don't know. I'm a talented guy. I just don't, you know. He's not a must-watch wrestler for me. I don't know. It's just weird. I just find him weird. They boast him as like a really, really strong guy.
Which he is.
But he doesn't look like it. He's just like, he looks slender and...
I think that makes it more impressive is that because he's slender, but yet he's carrying, like he's swinging like Mark Henry.
Yeah.
You know?
This is weird to me. I don't know. What are the other matches? I don't even know what I'm looking forward to. those are the two main ones.
There's the Divas Elimination match.
I'm sorry. I'm sure it'll be entertaining, but there's not much.
I think what bothers me about this entire Divas Revolution is that what's the revolution about? there's no story behind it.
I mean, just trying to get them more airtime and, you know, show that they've...
Yeah, if they had motivation, I mean, I love that they're getting more wrestling time. I love that.
I do,
you know?
I do think that there could be something to this Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns. Are they putting Ambrose and Reigns together back because they've got nothing else to do with them?
Pretty much, but I do think that Ambrose could turn heel. They're playing up that brotherhood too.
Someone's
much.
Probably going to turn on someone there. And it doesn't make sense that Harper would turn on Wyatt because they just put them back together.
I think Ambrose is going to turn on Reigns.
I can see that.
And Ambrose is better as a heel anyway.
I think he's probably primed to do a heel run, in my opinion, for me. I think Dean Ambrose should be Intercontinental Champion right now.
Well, yeah, and it's in kind of a quagmire with The Miz and Big Show.
Yeah, and that match doesn't do anything for me.
And now no one cares about that match.
Because it's like, the Big Show's, he's okay. Nice guy, I've heard, and everything. Come on. Ryback's like a big, strong dude, I get it. Miz is entertaining when he had Mizdow. I miss Damian Sandow.
Yeah. And
that was the best thing.
And what do they do with him? He's gone. Like, he's not doing anything
gone.
Right now.
Like, he's not even anywhere.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, that was the greatest thing.
Any other matches? I don't know. Again, Owens Cesaro is the one that I want to see the most.
What
do you have Kevin Owens, though? Because, like, he's not the... He doesn't have the quote-unquote look that the...
He's intriguing, I'll tell you that.
The office usually wants, because he's a heavyset guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
There's funny, a guy here in St. Louis that tweets about wrestling all the time. He had a great line. He goes, I will say one thing about Kevin Owens. He looks like he has the most comfortable ring attire of anybody in the WWE because he's wearing like basketball shorts and like baggy t-shirt and just out there wrestling. It's like he's just like just little loose fitting gym clothes or something. He's extremely intrigued because every interview he talks, I almost feel like he's doing a shoot, but he's just like using stuff against people. But it's interesting. Like he's a really, really good heel.
I don't know about you, but if I see Kevin Owens out on the street, I'd be afraid of him more than I'd be afraid of other wrestlers out there. Wouldn't you be afraid
of
like...
He's a really good bully.
Yeah, he's a big guy. Yeah, he's a big guy, man.
He's a really good bully. Like, they were trying to make Ryback a bully years ago.
Yeah.
That didn't work. Kevin Owens is a bully.
Oh, Kevin Owens is charisma, that's why. Like,
oh, my gosh.
He can talk his way out of a paper bag.
Yeah, he's a bully.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I'd be more afraid of Kevin Owens than Ryback, honestly, if they're walking down the street. You know what I mean? Like,
I do.
Yeah.
But it's the way he carries himself. But
yeah, exactly.
He's doing well with the character. I can appreciate the way he's like presented himself on television. He's pulling it off pretty dang well.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool that they actually have like a different, you know, heavyset guy. You know, on the program instead of like all, you know, bodybuilders basically, you know, because it's kind of nice to have different looks.
Yeah.
So shout out to Kevin Owens and shout out to all the guys that wear t-shirts at the pool. definitely looking forward to SummerSlam. So final word on MTV. Like, so what now of MTV? Like, it's just all reality shows at this point. We can't do anything about this, right?
Correct. It's award shows, reality shows, and that's it?
Yeah, the award shows doesn't even make any sense anymore. It's like, oh, video music awards. Music video awards. I'm just like, okay, but what music videos are you playing?
Yeah, I am looking at my list now, and shows that are currently running, I didn't know that was a show, something called MTV First, MTV Unplugged, that's still on apparently.
Where?
I don't know. It just says
well, then again,
present.
Let's put it this way, though. We don't really go out of our way to watch MTV anymore because we already know what's on there.
Good point.
So,
But yeah, I mean, they even have it in categories. Reality shows, Real World, 16 and Pregnant, Teen Mom,
oh
Teen
my
Mom
God.
2, Teen Mom OG.
Like, is that even appropriate? 16 and Pregnant?
No. Catfish. Competitive TV series, The Challenge, Are You the One, House of Food, Snack Off. I never even heard of any of those. I guess The Challenge is the same show, Real World Robles Challenge. Comedy series, Punked, Ridiculousness, Girl Code.
I remember the girl code and the guy code because people would tweet about that sort of thing. So.
And I do know Ridiculousness. Yeah. I know Punk'd.
My nephew watches Ridiculousness.
Scripted series, Teen Wolf, Awkward, Faking It, Finding Carter, Scream.
What is that?
I don't know. Scream actually says 2015 to present.
Didn't they also remake like Teen Wolf or something?
Yes. Yes. Eef. And then there's a whole host of what they call former programming. There's been a whole lot of shows. Oh my word. Man. The reality category is ginormous. It is ginormous.
Just give us our TRL. Just give us our grind. Just give us, you know, something like lip service or
Room
remote
Raiders.
Control.
Room Raiders is on this list.
You're just like naming off shows that I don't like. What?
Ride next, Room Raiders.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some great stuff. Diva Love Bang
Bang. Yeah. Oh, okay. I remember that one. Yeah,
there's so much.
Just give us our MTV Rock and Jock Sports back. Just give us the grind, TRL, yo, MTV Raps, MTV Jams.
Cribs. Did you like Cribs?
Cribs was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. I feel the same. It was just okay. Run House I liked.
Yeah. Remember the Party Zone?
I don't.
Apparently it's on here as former programming here. 87 to 2010. What the heck?
Oh, that's really old.
Yeah. It's probably like one of those like dance, like, you know, it's probably like the grind basically, I guess. I don't know.
Date My Mom.
Oh my God. I remember that.
Boiling Points. That was
I remember watching one episode of Date My Mom, and I'm going to end this show after this story. But
probably appropriate.
Yeah, because, okay, so this guy is gay, so he wanted to date, you know, one of the guys basically, so he would date older moms and stuff like that, you know? So it was pretty awkward because it's like, well, you know, he doesn't like women, but here he is dating the moms, you know? And then after all that was done, they started making out, the guys did. I'm just kind of like, oh my God, this is so awkward.
Awkward is right.
Yeah, awkwardness.
The whole premise of the show is just awkward.
Yeah, it's like you're dating someone that like you're not even fancying because you know you're gay and you don't date women, right? And then you end up like making out with a guy afterwards, and you know people aren't comfortable with that either,
right?
So it's just like, oh, this entire show is just super awkward.
It's weird. Before you close, so Date My Mom apparently ran from 2004 to 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Parental Control, was that the show where there was a date show, but you had to meet the parents? And you went on the date, and the parents watched your date? Was that show?
I don't know, but
like
I would believe you.
I can't remember. There was a show that had two a guy and a girl in a current relationship. They'd be at one of the parents' house, and then the parents wanted their daughter or son to go on a different date with someone else. And I'm pretty sure it was Parental Control. And while their son or daughter went out on a date with this other person that they selected, the other person that they didn't like sat in their house and watched it with them on television.
Oh,
they watched
gosh.
The date. So I bring this up because I feel like that was sort of a spinoff because it was the parent involved or a parent mm-hmm. involved, and it was a mm-hmm. date show. But Date My Mom ran from 2005 to what? Where did it go? 2005 or 2004 to 2006. Parental Control ran for a booming 5 years, 2005 to 2010.
How come I never heard of this?
Oh,
seriously.
I'm sure there's some
like,
clips on YouTube or something.
Or maybe I did. I just didn't want to like keep it in
I
my brain.
I guarantee you had to have. I guarantee you.
Yeah, because that is something that I would like make fun of the entire time.
It was so, and it was really weird because the significant other that the parents did not like while they were sitting at home watching this date,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
kid or that guy or girl would make fun of the parents in their house. Like, you wish you could get rid of me, but you're too fat to even get off the couch. Like, they
oh
stuff like
gosh.
That to the parent, and then the parent would have some sort of comeback, but it was just really awkward. It was really
Yikes.
Awkward.
Okay. Really, really before I end the show, here's a challenge that we should do, okay, because MTV is so ridiculous right now. We should live tweet one of those weird MTV shows. I wish it was Parental Control, honestly, but we should live to one of those shows. I don't know. I mean, we'll talk about it off record, but let's do that.
All right.
Yeah, let's see how awkward this can get.
And also see how many people we can bring into the conversation, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, hashtag whatever show we're watching. God, we need to find, like, one of those, like, dating shows or whatever, because that would be, those are always awesome. You know, yeah. Date My Mom would have been really
awkward, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, Mr. Derek Dockett, tell us your social media platforms, all, where your work is, all that stuff. Go ahead.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter, ddockett, that's D-D-O-C-K-E-T, one T. Do not type in the second T, because if you do, you'll find Darnell Dockett of the San Francisco 49ers, and he is not me, and I am not him. Dockett on Twitter, ddockett on Instagram. You can see a lot of my stuff. Of course, like you mentioned at the top of the podcast, I work for the Missouri Valley Conference, so I do a lot of stuff for college sports, college athletics, tweeting and posting a lot of stuff about what our student athletes are doing and promoting our teams and coaches and players and everything like that. So that's Missouri Valley Conference, MVC Sports, Valley Hoops for college basketball, and we just have a lot of fun not being one of the big guys. We enjoy when we do get a chance to take down the big guys in our game. So that's pretty much us.
MTV Rockin' Jock and TRL forever. Thanks, Derek.
You bet. This is Derek Dockett, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast.
Yo, it's the Green Machine, gonna rock the town without being seen. Have you ever seen a turtle get down? Slamming and jamming to the new swing sound. Yeah, everybody let's move. Vanilla is filled with a new jack groove. Gonna rock and roll the place with the power of the ninja turtle face. Iceman, you know I'm not playing. Devastate the show while the turtles are saying.
Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja rap, ninja, ninja rap. Go, 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 ninja, go, ninja, go, go, ninja, go, ninja, go.
Kicking it old school with Ray Ray and EJ, and I've been having so much trouble recording this section, but EJ, thank you so much for being patient.
Hey, you caught me on a good day. Number one, I'm actually on an off day from the radio show, so yeah, so you caught me at a great time to actually do this. and yeah, this is a re-record now of we did 4 a.m.
Yes,
and that sucks, Ray, because that was a great podcast, man.
It was. But, I mean, you know, it's always better the first time around.
Yeah.
Except for sex. Anyway.
Ooh.
Ooh. We'll get into that later, kind of.
Yes.
Ninja Turtles. Oh, my God, that's a terrible, terrible segue. Ninja Turtles. We were talking about Ninja Turtles, like, a few days ago, and I considered that cartoon as my favorite American cartoon of all time. So, what about you? What do you think about the Ninja Turtles?
It's up there. It's up there. Mm-hmm. Technodrome.
yeah.
Now for the listeners, I mean, I'm sure your fan base, it ranges in age from probably mm-hmm. from 5 to 85. I don't know.
I wish.
yeah. When we talk about Turtles, we're talking about the original late 80s setting, not the crap
yes.
they put out last like 20 years.
Oh boy.
Original, there's in Ninja Turtles and it's TMNT, okay? Ninja Turtles is what we're talking about here. I'm talking about the original, you know, cartoon with my man Krang. Yes, right. My man Krang. The greatest, still to this day, the greatest Ninja Turtles character ever.
Because that's funny because I've never heard of a Krang fan. Other than you.
Yeah.
Yes, Red. Yes, Red.
What is it about Krang?
It's just the whole thing. Like, he's a brain that's located on the waist of a body with a head that doesn't exist. He's very smart. The technodrome angle.
Obviously.
He's a boss that has a hard time controlling the fact that he's a boss, but Shredder does what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
A Bebop Rocksteady the business every time they screw up, which is of course every single time of the minute of every life of their career. So it's one of those things where Krang to me, like the voice and just the whole image. And as I got older, I think I've even appreciated it even more because, I mean, think about it, a brain on a waist of a body. Okay.
Yeah.
He talks. It's crazy.
Does this body even have a name? I don't even remember that body having a name.
I have no idea.
Yeah, they never really said the name. Anyway, so
off that body.
Ninja Turtles growing up, it was one of the first cartoons I watched when I returned to the United States in 1989. I was around 10. So, who was your favorite turtle?
Favorite turtle, as a kid, it was Leonardo. He's a leader. Mm. He's, you know, he's the LeBron, what do you call it? He's the Jordan. He's the guy. He's the follow me. You know, that's he's the leader.
Everybody wants to be the leader. Yes.
As I got older and became more affirmed of what I can do and what I can say, Raphael became my favorite as I got older because he was more witty. He was more of a, I think he had the most personality in my mind. Well, Michelangelo too, but I think Raphael had more of a personality that was more adult as opposed to the other three.
Yeah, a lot of people actually like Raphael because he's sarcastic.
Exactly.
And he's witty. So people can relate to that, and a lot of people are sarcastic in this world these days. I wanted to be Leonardo, but my brother called dibs on Leonardo first. So he said, oh, well, you're the smart kid. You can be Donatello. So I grew to like Donatello. He's the brain of the operations. He's the one that calms everybody down. So, yeah, I grew to like Donatello. And, of course, in the first Ninja Turtle game that for Nintendo, he was the strongest one, too.
Funny you said that. That's funny you said that because, like, as growing up as a kid, mm-hmm. my siblings, my cousins, you know, they were a lot closer when they were kids. Mm-hmm. So they had this whole thing where they were all Ninja Turtles. My brother was, like, I think Raphael or whatever. Whatever they were. And I didn't fit in because I wasn't around them as much as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So all the characters were accounted for. So what I did, and even Shredder was accounted for. I think somebody's parents was Shredder. Okay, so
right.
I claim Krang. I claim Krang at 10 years old. It's great.
did you like put some kind of like squishy little thing on your waist or whatever to be Krang?
I miss me the voice up all the time. Shredder.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Ninja Turtles was like, it was so cool with your kid because, like, you know, of course some kids wanted to be ninjas, and, you know, who didn't like pizza, right? Who doesn't like pizza these days? Everyone loves pizza.
Dude, you just said that. I just finished eating 3 slices of pizza in this nice. 10 minutes from one of our favorite shops down in Broward County. Yeah.
Nice. What's your pizza of choice, though?
Domino?
Pizza Hut?
No, if it's on corporate, I prefer Pizza Hut because I love the crusty pan pizza, mm-hmm. But I'm a bigger fan of a pizza that's you know mom and pop shops of course and whatnot. So it's funny when you were telling me when you called me to record this, the reason why we were late was because we stopped by a pizza shop.
that's what it was.
Late, yeah. So but the place is like 45 minutes away from our house, so we were on the way home, and it's our favorite place to go to. So we said, let's stop by quick, get a pizza, and then go home. So.
It's always a good reason. Stop for pizza,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing about this also is that when the turtles order pizza, they always want to leave out the anchovies. Do you like anchovies? No. I like anchovies.
I don't like anything with cheese. Maybe pepperoni, maybe sausage, just as far as it goes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm boring. But... I'm a boring eater, dude. I'm a boring eater. Like, even like Chipotle... I literally get, like, you know, everybody puts, like, everything in the bowl, like, the Chipotle bowls, like, you have, like, this and this and this and this and this and this and this, and this on top of your rice and chicken? No.
Right.
I'm simple. Rice, beans, chicken, sour cream, end discussion.
Okay.
Wow. I'm boring as hell. I am a boring, dude, I am a boring eater. It's the worst.
But what's not boring, terrible segue again, what's not boring are the three Turtles movies that came out in the 90s. Now, which one was your favorite out of those Turtles movies?
The first one, as I got older. I will say this, though. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, like, obviously, number one, number two. I don't really acknowledge the third one because the third one is, to me, like, I haven't seen it in so long, but I remember not liking it, so I never really revisited it again. Part one and part two are different movies. Like, part one is way, way darker. Part two is way, way, way lighter. Lighter. They got vanilla ice in there. Hello. right. You know... Part one, as a kid, I prefer part two. Mm-hmm. As an adult, I prefer part one, mainly because as a kid, I preferred Paige Turco, a.k.a. April O'Neil. As an adult now, I prefer Judith Ho, a.k.a. April O'Neil number one on part one.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, but here's the thing. The reason why I like part two better is obviously because I'm more of the lighthearted type of guy. But I do appreciate the first one for being dark. I mean, if you're going to make one Turtles movie, and if you're going to make it, you better make it dark
right.
and save the world kind of thing. Because, you know, what if you don't make another movie? You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't blame him for making it that way.
No.
The second one had Vanilla Ice, and I will always mark for Vanilla
Ninja
Ice.
Ninja, Ninja, Rap. You better
Ninja Rap.
You better put that music on the top of the production. Seriously,
Ninja Rap is probably like one of the top three rap songs of all time. No, I'm kidding. But
you're not kidding. I don't think you're kidding.
I will always cape for Ninja Rap.
Go, Ninja.
Yo, it's the Green Machine. Gotta rock the town without being seen. Have you ever seen a turtle get down?
All right, there we go. See, I love that song. You weren't kidding. Get out of here. Kidding.
Yeah, but as for the third movie, like I've seen it twice, and the last time I probably saw it was like in like 2000 or whatever. So,
yeah.
And I remember liking it, but like it doesn't hold a candle to the other two. So right. I mean, it does have the time travel, which seems to be kind of a theme. For Ninja Turtles, because there was some of that in the cartoons, right? I believe time travel. I feel like there was.
See, the thing is, when they started using cartoons after the movies came out in the early 90s, I got older. I just stopped watching them.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't even acknowledge the cartoons that are on now that the kids of today watch. I just don't acknowledge it.
Well,
it's not nowhere close to as good as it was originally.
Well, yeah. I mean, after it went to Saturday morning,
mm-hmm.
that's when I stopped watching it regularly. Right,
yeah.
Like after, yeah, because it was good during those Saturday mornings. I like those new episodes and everything, but after that, I stopped watching. And definitely after the third movie, I stopped watching anything turtles related.
Right.
They made a live action TV show with a female turtle called Venus de Milo, and I only watched a couple episodes. I didn't dig it too much. And now there's like various cartoons on Nickelodeon or whatever, and there's those new turtles movies with Megan Fox on it. I don't
acknowledge those things at all. Like, there's a movie with Michael Bay, really? I don't know about that. I didn't see it.
Yeah. So basically, like right now, I'm on that side where it's like they should have never remade Turtles.
Well, I'm sure financially they're doing very well, so
I'm sure.
You sit here and bitch about it, but you know what? They're the ones laughing at the end of the day because they're making the money off the stuff. You know,
mm-hmm.
I made sure my wife and I made a pact that we were not going to see those movies because
mm-hmm.
Michael Bay, as good as director as he can be and has been in the past, he mm-hmm. does have a habit of overdoing the moment and you know, too many Transformers and too many of this, too many of that. You know,
I remember seeing the previews of that particular movie, and it's like, oh, so we're probably going to expect like a bunch of explosions in this Turtles movie. Yeah. Okay.
Sure. And apparently the new turtles had them as like almost like aliens in a sense. Like really, dude. Like, are we mm-hmm. really having this conversation right now? I mean, I'm not trying to go there with that. I mean, look, I want my turtles way I remember them as guys who had human personalities, Splinter, the whole nine. You know. Mm-hmm. And plus, if there's one negative about turtle movies anyway, even the first set of movies. And granted, mm-hmm. I know technology wouldn't allow it because it's so hard to do. So 1990, 1992, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish there was some way they could have made Krang.
Right.
But no,
Krang,
I mean,
was totally missing, yeah.
Yeah, I wish they could have had the Technodrome angle somewhere. But it was hard to do that back then because, of, you know, the technology had been, like, more top-notch at the time. They could do it now, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine, like, the Turtles movies with Krang and Bebop Rocksteady and the whole nine?
Oh, yeah, God. They did have Tolkien and Rhizar, which I like, too, for the Turtles. Too.
Tolkien,
yeah.
Rhizar.
But, yeah. But Bebop and Rocksteady, definitely like the meatheads in that series. I like that very much.
Of course.
So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
They're the Rob Gronkowski's of cartoons.
so you mentioned that April O'Neil, that you like Paige Turco better. I mean, no, Judith Hogue better than Paige
As
Turco.
As I got older, you know, obviously Paige Turco's easier on the eyes because she's a little more down to your level, a little more younger looking, I guess, because, you know, whatever. But as you mm-hmm. get older, of course, man, you see Judith Hogue. This is a lady. She's sexy. You know,
mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, she's a MILF, I guess, when you call that. I mean, when I go that route. That, you know, she's a little more appealing to a guy like me now because I'm at 35, supposed to be at 12. You know, so.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. April O'Neil was like one of my first cartoon crushes. As strange as it may sound.
You see,
I don't know.
I never had a crush on April O'Neil. You know why? Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. yellow suit was just god awful.
That yellow jumpsuit is everything. I don't know what you're talking
about.
Stop that.
No. Really?
there's something sexy about it in the late 80s, early 90s sort of thing. So, I don't know.
That's not sexy. Now, between the short hair, short red hair with the yellow suit, sorry.
And speaking of April O'Neils, I may have mentioned this off record, but there is an April O'Neil in the adult industry.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Google!
Maybe you should... As you Google that, I think we should end this show as we look for April O'Neil pictures. Thanks, EJ.
Thanks, buddy. Oh, by the way, before you go, Irma. Remember Irma?
Oh, goodness sake. Why, do you find her sexy?
Hotter than April O'Neil, probably, right? As I got older, I guess you could appreciate that now. She's a little nerdy, but a little bit, maybe a little bit of a nerd. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't like the way she was drawn.
She was such annoying in the show.
I don't like the way she was drawn. So, back to April O'Neil. Later, guys.
Later.
This is Zach Harper of CBSSports.com, and you're listening to Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast, because Ray Ray is fundamental. You know, like those NBA commercials with the reading is fundamental. You get what I mean.
Thank you so much to Derek Dockett for doing a little MTV and WWE talk. Follow Derek Dockett on Twitter at DDockett. There is only one T in Dockett. And thanks so much to EJ Christian for doing a little TMNT talk. Follow him on Twitter at EJChristian7. Cowabunga, dude! As for the Rarious Fundamental Show, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also find the show at RayRay.net and on Stitcher. And the podcast is also being syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. That's all I got for now. Expect a podcast sometime next week. Hopefully all connections and mics are all fixed by then, so I can do this show without a hitch. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Gal Pal Squad, thank you so much for taking care of me. And just remember, Ray Ray is fundamental, and you don't need a library card to check me out. Until the next episode, party people.
Mommy's got some things for Daddy to do.
Game over, yeah! Moded.